Welcome back to the Expert Series on Aligned with Purpose in Life and Leadership. And today I'm joined by Faisal Hoke, who is the founder of Shidoka, Next Chapter, and other companies that focus on enabling sustainable and transformational changes. Throughout his career, he's developed over 20 commercial business and technology platforms and worked with public and private sector giants such as U.S. Department of Defense, GE, MasterCard, American Express, and many, many more. As a thought leader, he has authored a number of award-winning books on leadership, innovation, mindfulness, resilience, and organizational transformation and entrepreneurship, including the number one Wall Street Journal and USA Today bestseller, Lift, Fostering the Leader in You Amid Revolutionary Global Change, and the number two Wall Street Journal and USA Today bestseller, Everything Connects, Cultivating Mindfulness, Creativity, and Innovation for Long-Term Value. His work has appeared in Fast Company, Business Insider, The Wall Street Journal, Business Week's Fox, CBS, Financial Times, Mergers and Acquisitions, Forbes, and Leadership Excellence, among many others. He holds a strong belief that it's through knowledge sharing that we may provide the greatest clarity on how to improve our collective future. Thank you so much for being on Aligned with Purpose in Life and Leadership and joining me here today.
Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. So I really like to just start the show off by asking for you personally, what has it meant for you in your life to be aligned with your purpose?
Look, I've been in the industry for, meaning a professional, for last 30 years, and I'm now just starting my career in 50s. And so when I was in my 20s, I had one set of purpose, and now obviously over the years it has changed, right? So when I was young, it was very much about success, professional success, professional growth, making a name for yourself and having financial stability, et cetera, et cetera. But as years have gone by, my purpose also have changed. And these days, my purpose is more grounded to making an impact and trying to help others, regardless of whatever the financial achievement I may have or may not have. So it changes. We go through iteration, and life is a journey, and your purpose gets shifted as you go through different things in your life.
Absolutely. And thank you for sharing a bit of how yours has shifted over the years. I know there's so much inside of your story, but I want to highlight right now where you're at. When you mentioned impacting the lives of others, I mean, you're clearly doing that with your books. So yep. I would love to hear more about that experience of being a writer.
Sure. So, I started writing maybe almost 20 years ago now. When I started first writing, it was really for the purpose of brand building and sharing my knowledge to build up my companies and kind of elevating myself as a thought leader. And I was writing at that time very much about growth and transformation of large organization, because those were my customers. And as years have gone by, and they were kind of grounded in hardcore management science and techniques to shift the culture of our organization. But as the years gone by, I've kind of focused more and more around personal leadership, mindfulness, creativity, and connecting with others with empathy and gratitude, and then bringing in the systemic thinking and systemic execution that a leader must have to grow something, whether that's to impact a community or whether that's growing in an organization or working in our public sector. So the writing style and motivation for writing has also changed. And I have had a chance to travel across the globe. You know, I was born in Bangladesh, so I have a Eastern philosophy built into me. But I traveled, quite a bit in Japan and lots of places in Europe and other places. So I've collected these cultural, elements from many different places and have had the opportunity to work with people from many different fields and many different backgrounds. So that also shaped, who I am and what I write about and what motivates me and what I have been doing and probably want to do next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. And if you were to look back, okay, at your story, what was the story that was that moment in time where you decided like how important mindfulness was, how important really looking at yourself as the leader and really bringing that to an organization? I'd love to hear that story.
Sure. So when I was in my 20s, I was very much like a typical tech entrepreneur, who comes up with a product, goes raise a lot of money from venture capitalists, and then try to grow a company, which I did, and then got fired from my own company, like many, many entrepreneurs do when they don't get along with their investor. And then you kind of mope around and start your next venture. So I've done that, so that happened once, and then I've done several ventures after that. And, as I was just mentioning that I've started traveling and kind of connecting my dots to my Eastern roots, which was around, I would say, 2011, 2012 timeframe. And, I was sitting at an airport in Dubai, and I was just thinking about the progression and how everything kind of connects. And I was already writing blogs about, mindfulness and how important it is. And there is formal way to practice mindfulness, and there's informal way to practice mindfulness. And so I kind of outlined this, my previous book called Everything Connects, which primarily focused on mindfulness and how that drives somebody's creativity. And then you can apply that creativity for innovation and value creation, whatever the definition of value creation may be, mean to you. So it kind of, that kind of totally shifted my thought process. So that was almost like now 10 years ago. And then it kind of evolved and got more and more ingrained. And at that time, when first edition of Everything Connects was published, almost 7-8 years ago, the conversation around mindfulness was happening, but it was not as deep in corporate culture or entrepreneurial segment. But I kept practicing, and I kind of seeing that, in my own organization and my customer base and other people that I was working with, and it kind of taken from that. So the newest book, called Lift, which just came out and became a number one Wall Street Journal bestseller, has this connotation about a mindfulness, but also transformational leadership, which really grounded to how do you connect and inspire and influence, other folks to take advantage of the change that are happening all around us. Meaning, we've gone through major changes due to pandemic and technological shift and other things that has happened. So the book is kind of grounded around, how do you apply yourself by connecting to yourself and become a transformational leader to execute whatever your goal is? And your goal may be that you want to impact your local community. Goal may not be that you want to become this mega star entrepreneur like many wants to do. So it's not bad or right or wrong. It's just personal motivation to do whatever you want to do.
Wow. Wow, this sounds like a very transformative book. And really, for no matter where someone is at on their journey, it sounds like they would benefit from reading it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's it'll be very real. I think it's very relatable because, we collectively as a globe has gone through these changes, especially the last 3-4 years. I don't know who who doesn't have a personal story that that they have gone through for one reason or another, you know, during the pandemic and career change, family change, you know, adversity of all kind of things. And so I think it'll be very relatable. And the way I crafted it, you know, I was trying to write it so that it would appeal to my teenage son, but it would also appeal to, you know, who is starting their career or a entrepreneur or a CEO who's trying to grow an organization, right? So there's a lot of intersection and interconnectedness between philosophy, personal motivation, technology, and geopolitical and social changes that's happening around us.
Wow, beautiful. And now, for those who are listening who would want to pick up your book, or your books, I should say, sure, where would they be able to find them?
You can go anywhere, airports, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever. I mean, wherever books are sold, it's available. You can get a digital copy. You can get a hard copy. There's also audio version out now. So if you are a audiobook person, you can listen to the book as well.
Beautiful. So it's Lift is one of them. And then Everything Connects is the other.
Yes. And the second version of that just got released as well.
Okay, beautiful. Now, when you're working with people, what would you say the number one problem is that they typically come to you with? And how do you solve that?
Well, you know, people come to me for different reasons. So, you know, you talked about purpose and motivation. So one of the things that I have been doing for the last 5 years is that I wanted to bring my private sector experience, which I had many by working with, you know, as I worked with a very large organization, Fortune 50 organization, I wanted to bring some of those knowledge and expertise to our public sector. So I have been working with our U.S. federal government pretty extensively for the last 5 years. But in general, you know, people come to me or my company. I mean, at the end, I still, basically provide a software-enabled business service. And I'm not your traditional coach or a speaker that I write books because of my personal passion and want to share my knowledge. But, you know, typically organization comes to me because they want to transform by getting, best value out of technology. So it's reinvention and transformation through technology, but there's organizational cultural change that needs to happen first before you can apply technology to growth. And the people who read my books, they are all gamut of people, right? Early career, mid-career, folks who are very mature in their career and gain a lot of experience and wants to take their organization to the next level, those are the typically people who read my books. But I've noticed that, you know, I've been writing for a while now, so there's several books out there. And, you know, many universities kind of use them as part of their curriculum or as a reference material and whatnot. So it's, you know, it's depends on who you are and what you want to do. So nobody really comes to me with one particular problem.
Okay. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, I mean, you're definitely up to a lot of incredible things in your world. So you mentioned before we get on here, and I want to bring this up right now because this is aligned with purpose and your impact that you've had on the world has already been so great. But you mentioned before we got on here, you know, what you're doing with all the proceeds of your book. And I would love for you to bring that in now, because I feel like that's just such a beautiful way to impact lives.
Sure. Look, I mean, I consider myself extremely fortunate, and I have had quite a bit of, in my measure, incredible success along with many, many failures. So I've kind of, when I haven't written anything in a while, till Lift. And when I started writing Lift, I had some personal adversity with my family members with different kind of health issues. So I decided that all the proceeds from all my, newly released books is going to go to cancer research and and to World Food Kitchen, which is an organization that provides wherever there is a disaster. And along with the books, you know, we have created these digital courses that are available online, but that proceed also is going to go to those two causes. And, you know, and it's utterly a privilege to be able to do that. So I'm grateful for the fact that I can do that. And it's a whatever impact it makes for somebody else's learning, as well as that, you know, that proceed to help these deadly things that touches almost everybody that I know of. It makes me fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's so impact driven. And you've mentioned, and clearly from your history, I mean, you've had so much success in your career. And so I would love to just ask you, what do you feel like the number one key to success has been for yourself as a leader in this changing world that we live in?
I think it's first and foremost is resiliency. You know, you have to be super resilient because, you know, success doesn't come without having the discipline and devotion, and failure is part of success. You know, so you have to be super resilient. Sometimes you are, you know, especially if you're an innovator, your innovation is not always exactly on time. It's sometimes ahead of the curve or sometimes behind the curve. So you have to be extremely resilient. That's number one. And number two is ability to adapt and change and learn is critical, you know. And the third thing is, which this is probably the biggest realization that happened to me over the last 5-6 years, is nothing happens without being empathetical and a gratitude-driven approach when you are dealing with others and dealing with you know, things that are around you, because that's how you attract, you know, the good energy, if I can use that term, and the good people who wants to thrive with you, right? So combination of those three things, you know, it has been critical for me. And, you know, look, there's always tomorrow. We can't forget that. Whatever is happening today, there's always tomorrow. You just have to be patient for that tomorrow and get on with it, you know, and things will change.
Mm. So we've got resiliency. You have to be able to adapt, and then gratitude and empathy.
Empathy and yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm curious what your practices are, you know, on a daily basis to bring and cultivate that gratitude and bring more empathy into your life.
So look, I mean, you know, it's actually it's easy to talk about empathy and gratitude, but it's extremely difficult to practice. You know, so it takes a conscious effort to practice empathy, because empathy, by definition, is that you have to think about somebody else or something else beside yourself. And you know, I mean, self-preservation is in human DNA, right? So, I mean, it takes a conscious practice. So in my case, you know, what I try to do, which I'm not able to do every day, but whenever I can, every morning I start with a 10, 15 minutes, you know, sometimes 20 minutes meditation to kind of remind myself, why am I here and what am I trying to do? And that remind myself that I have to be empathetic. I can't lose patience. I need to hear what other people are saying and where they're coming from. Regardless, my priority and my rush to do things is not necessarily everybody else's priority and everybody else's you know, mandate. So you kind of have to, you know, that's how I try to do that. And the more you practice, you get better at it, right? So you listen better, you connect with people more easily, you kind of, you know, take back and step back and listen to where they're coming from, and then try to influence and inspire folks. So I have a very strong practice now about you know, how do I lead and manage? My management and leadership style is not command and control. It's very much of a, I'm there to serve and I'm there to influence and I'm there to inspire. And as a result, I'll get the best output from the people that works with me or for me, or I want to work with or for that for them.
Okay. And now I'm curious, has it always been that way in your leadership, or what shifted for you?
No, absolutely not. You know, I mean, it's been quite the opposite, because, you know, when I was, in early days of my career, I actually started my career in Pitney Bowes and GE. I was in GE during the days of Jack Welch, which they call Iron Jack. And, you know, it was a very much of a culture of command and control. Only A and B players survive. C players needs to be, discarded, you know, that kind of culture, right? So, so my initial training, if you want to call it training, corporate training, was very much from that kind of, background. And then when I started my own company, I mean, I had success very early on. I started my first company when I was 23. By 26, I had gobs of venture capital money. So I it was very much that bravado driven command control mindset of leadership and management. And, you know, and I'm not at all proud of that. And as time moved on, you know, I learned, and I have become what I've become. But I'm thankful that I had that experience, because I can compare and contrast from my own journey what works and what doesn't work. And frankly, when you practice the kind of things that we just talked about, you're much more productive, you're much more relatable, your journey, it's much more not just impactful but joyful. You know, I mean, you can't be happy all the time, but you can have impact and joy, a momentary joy and impact as you go on through your journey, right? Mm-hmm. There's no thing called happiness. You know, I mean, it's a point and, time and point experience that we have, and then we get on with it. But we can force ourselves to, try to make an impact and be joyful at whatever we're doing. And that absolutely comes with the territory of being able to connect with other people and carry that energy, so that, you know, it's a bi-directional energy that makes each of those experiences meaningful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what? One thing you said in there about compare and contrast of, you know, how things were before you found this new leadership style. I'm curious what like that aha moment was when you were in the midst of the old way. Like, can you remember like a moment where you're like, this is not the way that it should be. There should be a change right now. When was that?
So, you know, in my case, I wasn't I didn't have that insight or wisdom to put a break and do that. It really came from when I started encountering major failures. I realized that my failure, I'm basically my own barrier to move forward, right? And I'm making people around me unproductive and not so happy and not so inspired, right? And so mm-hmm. it came from that, you know. And resiliency and failure and adversity makes you tremendously humble, and it forces you kind of to look back, and it can either destroy you, or it can look back and say, what can I do differently to get to the next chapter of my life, right? So it happened gradually, and I cannot say that I had a particular aha moment that says, yep, that's it, from tomorrow morning I'm going to do things very differently. Because a lot of the things that we're just talking about, you know, it's so difficult. Mm-hmm. Everybody now talks about it, but in practice, these are very difficult things to do.
Oh, for sure. And I feel like also over the course of, you know, many months, many years, you know, you continuously stack on different things you're trying and incorporating. And now we have you sitting here with us today. It's this beautiful mixture of all of the things you've experienced in your life. So, wow. Yeah, that's powerful. And so it's all truly, I mean, the mindfulness in who you're becoming as a leader and really lifting other people up as you're going, hence the book Lift. And we haven't spoken too much about Lift, right? Because sure. We spoke about your other book. I would love to hear what was the reason behind writing Lift and what's sure. it all about?
So, I wrote first edition of Everything Connects about 7-8 years ago, right? And then I kind of gotten very involved with various projects in our government and other things. So I haven't been really writing anything that substantive, right? So I've been writing a blog here, article there during that time. And then, about 18 months ago or so, my publicist said, hey, let's have you thought about doing a book? Because so many things have changed in the world, meaning we have had that pandemic. We're still in the kind of semi-lockdown mode. Technology has, exponentially changed because we had to work remotely and do things very differently than we did before. We also seen a great shift in climate that kind of forced a lot of migration globally, and then you see these tremendous amount of misinformation, regardless of your belief on the right or left. We're just not getting the right information, right? So, and this misleading misinformation totally changes the socioeconomic fabric of the entire globe, meaning those 3-4 things, right? So I when I sat down, I said, okay, so let me look at the major drivers of change globally. So I kind of identified those 4 things, meaning, the pandemic, the fourth industrial revolution, which is really about technology, meaning convergence of a lot of different technology, the major climate change, as well as this, the massive misinformation that's running rampant all over the place. And then I said, okay, so how do you survive, regardless of your industry, regardless of your standing or stature of your career, or personal, station in your life? How do you survive all that and then ultimately thrive from these changes? So I've started doing some research, and I boiled down to 3 things. So the 4 major changes and 3 major things that you can take on to deal with those. Those 3 things are how you lead yourself. So I said, okay, you have to be a transformative leader as a person. Forget about leading other people, but as a person. And that comes from definition of transformational leadership, which are it's not actually my definition. It was kind of talked about early 70s, and then it got evolved. It's driven by empathy, inspiration, and influence. That's the basic fundamental tenet of transformational leadership. So you have to have that, because in order to do anything, you have to kind of understand what's going around you and what's going around, meaning the people, the economy, the organization, everything, right? So you have to kind of lead yourself with that kind of mindset. Then I argued that, well, okay, so that's great, but you can't really execute anything without having a systemic thinking or systemic approach in place. You have to make things repeatable, right? So for example, you could be inspired, but you have to take that inspiration and translate that into something. And to translate into anything, it requires discipline, process, automation, innovation, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what systemic thinking and systemic execution means. The third element is that, you have to learn, but the best learning comes from it comes from experiential learning, right? I mean, you can read books, you can go to schools, but nothing is like, when you actually learn from your experiential situation. So, for example, I use this example all the time. I mean, it was a strange thing for many to go to a restaurant, as the things started opening up, and use your phone and look up the menu with a QRP code, right? And because we are used to getting a menu, right? Or ordering food through an app and getting it at home because we can't go outside. Or like doing telehealth, right? Because we can't really visit a doctor's office because of whatever that has been happening, right? So these are very experiential learning that we as a society collectively gone through. So that creates opportunities, right? It's an opportunity to redefine yourself, reinvent your business, reinvent what you want to maybe study, reinvent or rethink what you may want to do with your career next, how you want to connect with people, et cetera, et cetera. So those four change drivers and these three practices are basically the genesis and the fabric of the book. But we looked at it from every single major industry. So whether it's healthcare, education, technology, public services, or consumer, consumer industry, we looked at it from all different examples, and that's basically Lyft. And it went by pretty fast because there was so much material. Came from personal experience, but also so many examples that were available. So I had a couple of cohorts who helped me to write the book. Collectively, we did a lot of research, and that's kind of created Lyft. And I wasn't really expecting or had any kind of overarching thought process how this book will do from a market point of view, or is it going to succeed, or it was a very organic growth. And when it started to get some momentum, that's when I decided, hey, I have an opportunity to take this proceed and actually make many meaningful contribution to those couple of charities that I just talked about.
Wow, I love to hear everything that you've learned, really just coming full circle into one beautiful book that we can get our hands on, which is amazing. And the fact that you've learned to leverage change so beautifully and transform these lives for the greater good is, yeah, it's really influential and really inspiring. So like you heard, these books can be found anywhere you can buy books, really. So I would love to hear just from you, what do you feel like was a book that you read on your journey that really transformed your life?
It's funny. I actually have this on my website, and that some of the, I like reading books from many different genre and many different discipline. A couple of books that had profound personal impact is nothing to do with business or career or anything. One book is by Nobel laureate Tagore, who is a Bengali a poet. That book is called Sadhana, which really means devotion and discipline. So he write, that's one of the books. I read a lot of books by a lot of these Tibetan monks that kind of helps me to connect with mindfulness and learn as much as I can about mindfulness and connecting with yourself. But I'm also a big fan of a lot of the modern organizational psychologists like Adam Grant and folks like Claire Christensen on innovation. And there are so many thought leaders, that you can, there's no lack of knowledge. But I tend to collecting knowledge from different discipline. And one of the term that we kind of adopted is called purposefully omnivorous, meaning you need to taste different experiences, or if you want to kind of form your own taste bud, right? So I try to practice that by reading different things from different genres and different disciplines.
I love that. Yeah, to make yourself really well-rounded. And I think that's perfect with the topic for today, right? Truly finding your purpose is trying different things.
For sure.
Yeah. Beautiful. So do you have anything else that's coming to mind right now that you feel called to share?
Not really. I mean, well, I can tell you what I tell myself that, it's hard to be optimistic, but it is a requirement to be optimistic, but not foolishly optimistic. You have to be, kind of a pragmatic optimist whereby you see the opportunity, but you pragmatically develop things around you to survive whatever that's going on. And as a result, it creates the foundation where you can thrive, right? So, and your journey is yours only. It's a unique journey, just like our unique DNA. You can't follow somebody else's footstep. You can learn from other people's journey, but at the end of the day, it's your own journey. So you have to be kind to yourself to kind of walk through that journey and rest will happen. You know, that's kind of my personal philosophy. So that's, wow, that is the call to action.
Oh yeah. I love that. And now, so where can we find you on social media if we're looking to connect?
I mean, you can find me on LinkedIn, obviously. You can find me on Twitter. Those are kind of my primary social media. You can also find me on the web. I do contribute to a number of publications. You can go to my website where I publish, all kinds of things. Obviously career and business and leadership related, but also very deep, this personal, call it spiritual, which is my personal website, which is faisalhaq.com.
All right. Thank you so much. And I would love to ask if you have a question that I can actually start my next interview with. So whoever I interview next, which I won't give you any names, but this is going to kick off their show.
That's a tough one. But I mean, maybe you can ask them that, what is their personal mantra that allows them to survive day, week, month, year, and so on and so forth. Because I think everybody should have a personal mantra, because you talk about purpose, that creates purpose, because you have to have a calling, and it's very difficult to find a calling, and it evolves. But if you keep asking yourself, what is my mantra, that probably helps you.
Now, how would one create this mantra?
I think it will evolve. So it will change, and that's perfectly okay. So if you say, look, my mantra is to become a successful entrepreneur, the best at my field, or write the best thing I can, and that is the mantra of that particular time, and you can kind of frame that, for that particular moment in time, and that becomes your calling, right? So then when that's over, maybe you have a new mantra, and it's a you call it purpose, calling, mantra. They're all kind of interrelated, but you have to have a baseline, motivation is the why. Why do you want to, why do you want to do this? And then how and what kind of comes after that.
Well, thank you so much. This has all been so incredibly helpful. And I'm sure, after hearing more about the book, I'm excited to get my hands on it, because I would love to read between the lines and just, experience this for myself. So thank you so much for just sharing your work with us here today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure and an honor. Thank you.
Thank you.